Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Hey, thanks for joining us. All right, the NBA regular season gets ready to kick off on Tuesday night and then a full slate of games on Wednesday. And then we'll be rocking and rolling all the way into the summer with the NBA championships. Jessica Camerato joins us from basketballinsiders.com. It's been a long time, Jessica. How you been?
I have been counting down the days, it feels like, and now they're just turning into hours. So it's awesome finally talking season openers.
All right, so this season ahead, I think the NBA is in great shape. There's so many teams, there's a lot of good players, a lot of great stars. Yes, this is a players' league, but there are coaches that have gone in and are taking over teams that are playoff teams. You look at Chicago, Oklahoma City, New Orleans. Which one has your eye? Which coaching change has your eye as we head into the season?
I'm really interested to see what happens down in New Orleans with Alvin Gentry and the Pelicans. I think that right there is the most raw talent. I think it is the team that has the most opportunity to be developed into a playoff contender. You know, those guys, they're kind of tweaked into the playoffs last year. And gosh, you have somebody like who can be a super. I mean, he is a superstar, but somebody that can continue to develop so much. And Anthony Davis being paired with a new coach, I think that is going to be a really interesting dynamic to watch. You know, you had Hoiberg going to the Bulls, but that's a team that's been in place. I mean, I feel like these guys have been playing together for like 10-plus years, it feels like. So the Pelicans are very much a work in progress, and when you throw in a new head coach, I think that is really going to be an interesting thing to watch that play out this season.
You brought up Anthony Davis, and I started talking about this with a friend of mine about how one of the things I love about where the NBA is going is it feels like the quality of stars is really expanded. It used to be like there was only a handful of guys you could talk about as an MVP. Now I feel like there are multiple players that we could really have a discussion with. In terms of where you see this league, how good of a spot is this league in?
The league is in a good spot in terms of stars because you're right. We're not just seeing a star no longer has to be a player that scores 25, 30, 35 points a game. It's not just about the Kobe Bryant, the
State
LeBron
Farm
James,
National Bureau.
Even the Kevin Durant. When you have Anthony Davis getting a $145 million contract, that's saying there is now a big man that's a star, and he's not out there on the wing shooting three-pointers like a Steph Curry-type player. This is a big man that is going to dominate the game. And then what was so interesting with the Warriors winning last year was it was a bunch of role players. And that's what we saw with free agency a lot, with players being deemed stars are guys like Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard. These are players that came up playing, you know, behind the stars, and now they are stepping into their own. So free agency, I think we saw a lot of stars emerge in terms of contract values and things like that. And it's not just the same small handful. We're seeing different roles being recognized as having star power.
We know that Kevin Durant is back off the foot surgeries. Does everything look okay in Oklahoma City with him, or there are some lingering effects that could present itself early?
Oh, man, it's so tough with Kevin Durant, right? Because it always seems, I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor, you're not a doctor, it always seems like he's ready to go, and then something else just comes up. The good thing about the Thunder is they've been through this enough now. It's kind of like the Bulls with Derrick Rose, where now that they've played without Durant, they know how to make adjustments without him. And certainly we saw Russell Westbrook step up last season and basically put on a mini MVP campaign of his own. So let's say that Durant isn't 100% to go, or if he has problems or things, setbacks throughout the season, these guys know what they have to do to win without him. So like the Bulls did, they figured out ways to kind of fill in the gaps. Obviously you can't replace Kevin Durant when he's out, but I think they're in a better position where they're not so dependent on him if he can't go 82 games at 110%.
The Atlanta Hawks were a team we talked about a lot last year in terms of they didn't have a big superstar, but they had a lot of very good all-star-like players. One of those players has left. Amari Carroll has gone to Toronto. Kent Bazemore takes over in his starting spot. Do we see a drop-off in Atlanta, or are they going to be the same kind of machine that they were last year?
There is going to be a drop-off in Atlanta. I mean, what they did last year in the East was absolutely remarkable with their regular season record, but really what it comes down to is what you can do in the postseason, and that's where they fell flat, and that's where this team has fallen flat. Losing Jamari Carroll to the Toronto Raptors is a big loss. Kent Bazemore steps in. I remember Al Horford told me last season, really liked what Bazemore did defensively, so we're going to see a lot more of him emerge as a player this season. We'll see a lot more Penn State Moore's name popping up more and more. But the Eastern Conference was not deep last year. They were just, the competition was just not good. And I think the Cavs are going to take over the first spot. Wouldn't be surprised. You know, maybe the Bulls get the second, even with all the Derrick Rose ups and downs. So that number one seed is, it's not a lock for the Hawks. And even the second, third, and fourth, the competition is steeper in the Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah, is there, I mean, we look at the Bulls, and you mentioned the Cavaliers, of course, as being the favorites. Has anybody improved enough that you're like, they're now in that kind of conversation? Maybe not Cleveland good, but man, could be some trouble for a team in the playoffs.
In the Eastern Conference?
Yes.
Everybody that knows me knows I always in the playoffs love to watch the Chicago Bulls. And maybe, you know, who knows, with a different coach this year, if they would have that same tenacity in the postseason or with Joe Kingnova's role changing. But to me, the Bulls are always that team that has so much talent, and they just find a way to still cause problems. And if you're a playoff team, once you reach the postseason, you don't have to be the best team, but if you can cause problems, maybe you can make things interesting, and maybe you can steal a series. The Bulls will, with that intensity, Joe Kingnova plays absolutely out of his mind. They have Bobby Portis, who I think is going to be a huge sleeper steal in that draft. That guy is ready to go and just take on the world, and Kevin Garnett and LeBron James and anybody else that stands in his way out there on the court. So they're my favorite team in the Eastern Conference to watch in terms of who I think could give the Cavs the best run for their money.
Now, that's why I like you, Jessica. You and I were on the same train with Bobby Portis. I was touting him for a long time at the SEC Championship, so I'm glad we're on the same page with Bobby Portis. The Miami Heat are a team I find really interesting because with Justice Winslow landing in them in the draft, now I look at Eric Spoelstra and I'm like, he can manage Wade a little bit more. Chris Bosh is back. Some exciting stuff in Miami, or are they still kind of a couple of players away?
I think the Miami Heat are going to be one of the most improved teams in the NBA. When you look at what happened to them last season, of course, losing Chris Bosh with the blood clot issue, that really accounts for why their record was as poor as it was. But I think we're going to see huge improvements from the Heat. I think they're not just going to sneak into the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be an eighth seed. I think they're a team that could be a fourth or fifth seed. You have Chris Bosh. You have Dwayne Wade. You know, health obviously is a concern for them. Justice Winslow is somebody, I mean, remember at the draft, there was the Celtics were trying to get their hands on them. Their report of trying to trade up, offering, you know, basically the whole team and Lucky the Leprechaun to get him. And Justice Winslow is somebody, you know, that was a very coveted pick. So I think he'll be able to make an impact as a rookie. And having Dragic there the whole season is going to be really important. That backcourt, you know, Mario Chalmers was really just a role player playing with a bunch of stars. And now when you have a prominent point guard, that's going to make a difference on the Heat, and that's going to take some of the burden off of Dwayne Wade, who we know is getting up there in age, and 82 games a season isn't something that's realistic for him. So Hassan Whiteside's continued development is going to be really critical to them. Last season, he had quite the breakthrough with his story that was really well documented, and now he'll need to really keep up that pace. But they have a really good group, Luol Deng, of course, and then they have the coaching staff. So I think the Heat, for me, are going to be one of the most improved teams, and I think they'll be that middle of the pack Eastern Conference team that will quietly surprise a lot of people.
Jessica Camerato joins us, Basketball Insiders, as we get an NBA preview as the season starts on Tuesday night and, again, full slate on Wednesday. All right, over in the West, we saw Golden State last year, you know, take off, stay at the top spot, run that through all the way to the championship. But the West isn't, in terms of its depth, we know how good a lot of teams are. Do you expect that same kind of thing to happen in the West, or are there just too many good teams where any one of those teams could be the number one seed?
I think it's going to be a battle for the number one seed. I don't think it's going to be as runaway train as it was for the Warriors last year. Of course, because you look at it, start with the injury. Kevin Durant will be back. That changes the scope of the Western Conference right there. Injuries are so key. I mean, everything was decided by one or two games. Let's say, you know, the Grizzlies stay healthy. Maybe they're the number two seed. All these matchups could have been so different depending on injuries. I think the Warriors could still claim the number one spot, and that wouldn't surprise me either way. But I think the San Antonio Spurs are going to be much improved from last season. Obviously, Parker, Duncan, Ginobili, they're aging, but I just absolutely love the addition of LaMarcus Aldridge. It totally bridges the gap. Aldridge is somebody who's still has, you know, still in his prime, but he's not a super young player. And I like that they're building the structure of the team where they have young pieces that kind of in between with NBA experience and then the veterans, and it can be a smooth transition once their trio retires. But in the meantime, they have a lot of potential to cause a lot of problems in the Western Conference. They're a team that without Aldridge, you don't want to face in the playoffs just because of their team chemistry, their fundamentals, and Greg Popovich. So now you throw LaMarcus Aldridge into the mix. That's my team to watch in the West. They're not, you know, they're not flashy. They're not super fun. It's not Kevin Durant. It's not Anthony Davis. It's not Chris Paul. But I just love the X's and O's. They just execute them impeccably.
I wanted to ask you about Flip Saunders because I saw a lot of tributes to him and what he meant to players around the league. What was the sense of his importance to the players in the NBA, the guys that really knew him, the guys that played for him? What did he mean to them?
Oh, my gosh, the outpouring when that news broke on Sunday was just, it was so overwhelming to see just the positive impact that he made from players. Obviously, the post from Kevin Garnett sitting, looking at his parking spot. I mean, yeah. I think that was just so touching. And that for Kevin Garnett, a man of, you know, not the most overly, you know, verbal like that, that just spoke so many words. But what was really wonderful about Flip Saunders was you saw veterans like KG, and then there's NBA rookies, guys that were just so impacted by him that barely even got to know him, maybe never even met him, but it just shows the impact that he had just spanning the NBA. And then, you know, from a writer's perspective, just seeing the reactions from, you know, writers that have known him over the years, just everybody saying so beyond a coach, just what a wonderful person he was. So very fitting that the coaches will be wearing, you know, pins to remember him, and there'll be dedications, and everything will just be so well-deserved. It's a very, very sad loss for the league.
Absolutely, a very sad loss. Jessica Camerato, great catching up with you again. I can't wait to do it again. Great stuff.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Again, Jessica Camerato, BasketballInsiders.com on the NBA preview. So many things. I said this earlier about the league. I love this, the way this league is. I love it now. I'm an 80s kid, and I was a guy that grew up with the Celtics and the Lakers, and if you got the Rockets involved, great. If you got the Sixers involved, great. But to me, I was an 80s kid that loved the NBA a lot, and I liked all the different stars in the NBA back then. And listen, I've had my ups and downs with my fellow 80s guys who complain about this kind of basketball and this kind of league, and it was so much better back in our day, etc., etc. And I just don't buy it. I don't see it that way. I look at this league and I see tremendous star power. I see tremendous athleticism. I think anybody who complains about the NBA isn't really watching it all that much. I think the entertainment value is there. There's so many different teams that are capable of winning a championship. The Golden State Warriors, you know, didn't come out of nowhere, but certainly the way they played and the way they dominated was a surprise. And the storyline in Cleveland with LeBron James is just a small part of what the NBA is going to be this year. With Kevin Durant healthy, what's going on in Miami, as I mentioned earlier, some real rising teams that can step up and be a real pain, like the New Orleans Pelicans. May not be championship good, but you never count them out in a series. You never put them away with Anthony Davis on that squad. I think there's a lot to like about this league. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. We'll look ahead to game one of the World Series, as well as the college football slate and the bad loss for Baylor as Seth Russell goes needing neck surgery, and they're turning it over to a true freshman at quarterback. We'll talk about those things coming up next. It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio.